Andy, how's it going?
It's going well. Yeah, we missed a week. That's my bad. Like I was saying, there was almost comically loud construction happening on our apartment building, and it just never ended. And so thankfully, we don't have that going on this week. But yeah, just kind of plugging away, enjoying the summer, trying to have some work-life balance, but not doing a great job of that, though. How are things on your end?
Yeah, likewise, it's definitely summer here. It's like so incredibly hot. And like, of course, I turn the fan off to podcast and close the door. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's a sauna in here right now. So I'm glad we're only going to podcast for like 30 or 40 minutes.
Do you have air conditioning?
No. Uh-uh.
Is that, I know air conditioning exists in France, but how common is it in like normal houses?
It doesn't, never. I mean, not here, right? Like in the south of France, it okay. exists a lot more. But I mean, it's not really super hot here for more than like a couple months. So
people won't even do the window units or things like that.
So in houses, like I just have never seen that around here. So we have shutters. Everyone has shutters. And so like in the afternoon like this, you close the shutters and open the window. And then like there's a breeze that comes through, but the sun isn't kind of banging in the room and making it hot. So yeah, I mean, the problem is you can't really like go to sleep until midnight because the house is still like really hot until late. So that's cool. We just, you know, kind of change. And then the kids have like 3 weeks of school left. And then like the schedule's all out the window. And I have no idea what I'll do then, but that's, yeah. The work-life balance stuff, like trying to get down to the lake and paddleboard, and we bought kayaks and stuff because we're not like taking proper vacation this year. So we'll stay around here and just do a lot of water sport stuff around here because it's a super beautiful place. And I'm pretty excited to just be able to stay here instead of traveling somewhere else to do all the fun stuff. It's all right here anyhow. So
that's amazing where you can just go not too far, get outside, enjoy that. I've had a decent amount of business travel. And when things started opening up with conferences and all of that, I was like, all right, yeah, let's do all of them. And then I was like, oh shit, now I remember what it's like when you just have a flight every weekend and all this, and just everything falls behind. So I've got a wedding coming up and then a solid break where no actual travel, just go to the beach around here, lay low, get some shit done a bit more than I've been able to over the last few weeks. But it's at least given me some good time to think higher level when I'm not able to be involved day to day as much, just taking a step back. So it's just figuring out, all right, we're pretty clear on where things are going with SaberSim itself, but trying to figure out what our vision is beyond that, if there is one, what that looks like. But even more than that, it's just within SaberSim, just been doing a lot of work on how the team is structured, how we're meeting and all of that. And making some good progress there, but I think the travel as well has made me realize how important it is for me to get someone who can help on the admin side of things. And so our plan is to hire someone for basically a VA, but for tier one support and some help on marketing administration stuff, whether it's uploading to YouTube, whether just whatever it may be, just simple things like that. And the reason for that is just because that will free up Ross, who's one of our part-time support people, to work on higher leverage projects, help me on admin stuff a lot. I think that's the missing piece right now. Now that Jordan is pretty ramped up on the marketing side, there's still more we're going to be doing on that, but I can delegate a lot of that to him, but I don't have anyone to delegate some of the admin stuff to. So kind of working on that and just figuring out what the next steps are there. But I know you are in the process of doing some hiring as well, right?
We are. Yeah. So I think like if folks remember back a couple of months, we hired two developers and two support people kind of all in a month. And one of the support people didn't work out. And so that was a bummer. Really made us look at our hiring and screening and interviewing process. Don't have a lot of like, in retrospect, really obvious signals of why this person didn't work out. So that's tough. The only thing we added is like a pretty hard requirement for like references that we didn't check references before. We very much do now. And hopefully that will help. We have hired since then. We have a head of growth, Sam, who has been on for about 3 weeks and is going great and just made an offer and it was accepted for kind of a replacement for that support specialist role that didn't work. And Jimmy is an American guy that lives in the Galicia area of Spain, like the northwest part of Spain, just above Portugal. So that'll be really cool. So we'll be able to offer some like European support hours. We'll be able to offer support in Spanish. And he, his wife, partner, is a freelancer and works on the weekends and they take time off during the week. So may be able to like have him work half a day, like Wednesday and Friday or something like that, and then a half day over the weekend each. So yeah, all of those perks kind of by chance, but that's really cool. And he's just a super, super guy. Good to have so our support team right now is like a support manager and then a support rep, both of whom are female. And so nice to have a male in there. I think just like kind of that balance. And, you know, Kim, our customer experience manager, talks about like being the customer, you know, and like representing the customer kind of entirely. And so this is a nice step in that direction. But the big
one, has it gone with the head of growth? You said it's gone well, but like, what, can you talk a little bit about that, the onboarding process and just what they're working on?
Yeah. So, you know, it's really, it is a whole big old topic. So what, like, I think we're all colored by our previous experience, right? Like to start with, it is like, I think of working with a marketing person as like Denise, right? Because that's my only experience. And she had a certain set of strengths and skills. And when Sam started, I kind of wanted all of those. And that is not who he is. And I knew that, you know, I knew that like kind of intuitively as like his background and where he came from, because like he started in sales and then went to marketing. And like the company he worked at was not a like transactional kind of sale. It was more like the enterprise-y kind of stuff that we're selling now. So like marketing to funnel sales is really where he's sitting, which is perfect, right? It's like where we're going. And like, honestly, and yeah, Sam, I don't know if Sam listens to this or not, but we've talked about this. Like at first I was like, Sam's not really super, super sharp on SEO. Sam's not really, really down with like how to navigate Ahrefs, but he's really, really, really good at like customer funnel stuff, you know, and understanding that and like has us all up and tuned in HubSpot now. So like when our sales reps come in, they're like, okay, we have leads and we understand how to track them and proposals and blah, blah, blah. Like, and so like the long and short of that is like, we've always, I think, just wanted like the best people. And like, if they're like 5 degrees to the right or to the left of something we really want, that's okay. And like, we are a small and nimble enough company to kind of accommodate that. And I think it's where we are, is like Sam is a really strong person for like marketing to drive sales. And that's what we need, because that's the direction that we're going in. And I think what it means is we probably will find someone else to own the like organic content side of things, just to continue to drive the self-service part. And that'll be a part of what Sam does to kind of oversee that. But that'll not be what he does on like a most of the time basis. So that's been like an interesting experience, but overall like really good.
Do you already have someone for that more content management role?
Yep.
Okay.
They don't know it yet, but we do. Yeah.
That's the best. Like, oh, I've got someone there.
By the way.
Yeah. You're still moving forward on hiring sales. How has that been going?
It is super interesting, man. So from a tooling perspective, we're using, what do I call it? ATS, applicant tracking system, Workable. And it's pretty good. But the nice thing about it is they have like a subscription option, or they have a $100 per position model. Cause I'm like, I don't want to pay like $50 a month when we're not hiring that much. Actually, it turns out it might be good because we're hiring like a decent amount, but like we pay, you know, $100 to Workable for this position, and we're able to track everybody through. It's nice because you can like take notes, send emails, move people through the funnel, all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty good. Before, we were just using like Google Sheets, and that was just good at the beginning because you could see everything in one place. But then as people move through, then it's just like cluttered with just all of the applicants and the folks that are moving through, and like you end up with the 5 people just in this giant spreadsheet. So like, I'm enjoying that. But the interesting thing is, and I think this is like the theme of the episode, is like dealing with what we don't know, is there's just a lot of stuff that goes into hiring a salesperson. And this is our first sales position. What's the mix of like salary and compensation, like variable compensation, like commission? How do you break up like territories or product lines? Because we want to hire 2 people, right? Because that's like conventional wisdom is like salespeople are super competitive, so hire two and they're going to kind of battle against each other and all this kind of stuff. And kind of like we saw with our support person, like as good as we try to hire the best people, like there might be a chance that one doesn't work out. But in sales, if both work out, then you're, you know, twice as far ahead in terms of revenue. So we can afford to hire two people. So we're going to. And so that's cool. I've done about 10 first round interviews so far and have four people that I know will move through and have another kind of five or six second round interviews. And then we'll have another kind of handful maybe after that. So it's good. I mean, it's funny, salespeople interview really well, right? Like they're salespeople. And so I think that kind of like with Sam, we're seeing that like, okay, this person like would fit over here really well. And this person with their background and their strengths would fit in this area really well. Like whether it's geographic or product or past experiences and things they can bring with them. So I think that's going to be the hardest thing is it's not like you're going to have three or four candidates that all basically look the same. And it's like, okay, this one's, you know, an A and A plus. It's like, they're all just very different.
Are you planning to have sales involved throughout the company or is it exclusively for the enterprise private podcasting?
Yeah. So they will be involved all throughout the company in all the way from like enterprise private podcasting for companies, which is a true like 60 to 90 day sales cycle, to Castos production stuff, which is generally like a one sale, one call, maybe a follow-up proposal to customers that are coming in and getting onboarded and have questions and just need a nudge. I think that last one will be pretty small, but especially if, you know, we think, and I think that how we do, if we think somebody has the ability to be like a high value customer or the potential to be a high value customer. So thinking already about how we kind of lead score and like even move people from like Drip into HubSpot, like how can you say like, hey, this person is engaged a bunch of times, but they haven't signed up yet. How do we move them over there so a salesperson can reach out and have a quick conversation with them? So yeah, and they're going to do, and this may be too much, but they're going to do both like inbound lead nurturing and some like outbound demand generation and prospecting. And so that's like a unique person that can do all that stuff. But
so I think it's going to be one person covering all. It's not as though you can have someone on private podcasting and someone else on podcast productions. It's going to be one who's going to bounce around.
So this is the question, honestly. I think it's tough. And like, I don't have an answer. I'm happy to talk about just my thoughts and get your input on it. But like, they're very different products, right? And they're very different ways that you sell them. But there is decent crossover between the two. And so that's where, like, even if you did just like, okay, this is the Castos production salesperson and this is the kind of private podcasting salesperson, they need to be able to talk both sides of the coin because you know we want to sell Castos productions to the enterprise customers. But I mean sense. Certainly like they could team up on some accounts and deals and stuff.
So that to me, those pieces make sense having one person being able to do that. I think it's when you get to the other areas, it not necessarily it doesn't fall apart, but that's just where I'd be most cautious of. If someone is skilled at closing those higher value deals, it doesn't really seem like they should be doing much onboarding stuff until the person's already been very qualified by somebody else. And same with like the inbound, like the lead nurturing and outbound prospecting. It all depends where I don't know enough about account-based sales and all the other kind of things. But I think if the longest sales cycle is 60 to 90 days, then it doesn't seem like it matters if they have a super deep relationship with the prospect. So it's probably not as important for one person to own the full life cycle of that. That's just where I would lean. Like, I don't know if you've read many of the sales books, but it's like, I think Jed Blunt or something wrote Fanatical Prospecting, which is basically like salesperson should do everything. And then you have Aaron Ross on the other side of Predictable Revenue, which is more have specialists. I don't know. Those are just my thoughts is I naturally lean towards people specializing a bit more, but I don't know. There are multiple ways to do it. And you have the sales background too. So what goes through your mind when you're thinking about their responsibilities?
Yeah. I mean, I think that like when it comes to how to divvy up responsibility, say like we want to hire two people, how do we kind of slice the pie? You know, one approach is by product. And I think that can make sense because how we sell them and the person who could be really good at selling a more transactional product versus an enterprise thing are kind of different salespeople. I think the other way to do it that a lot of companies do is geographically. And I think that's pretty fair to say like, okay, this is the North America salesperson and this is kind of the OUS. I don't know if that's kind of right or wrong, but that is like the other option. What we're selling with the private podcasting is not super conducive in our experience, at least to like outbound, like email and LinkedIn prospecting and stuff like that. So I don't know that like an SDR role, which kind of their job is to like go get leads and qualify them for an AE. I don't know that that is the best fit for like one of the positions.
So these are eight account executives that you're hiring, right? And so if you don't...
Sorry, yes, I was nodding on the video.
If you don't think it makes sense to bring in an SDR because it's not a good fit, why have the AE do it at all for if outbound prospecting? Like if in my opinion, it's like if outbound prospecting isn't good enough to bring in an SDR to do it, don't have the higher value employee try to do it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really smart. I mean, I guess just kind of like, we don't have enough leads to fill up two full days, you know, of work. And so
that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forget. Were you working with an SDR agency?
We were. Yeah.
How did that go?
Yeah. Like they did a lot of work, right? Like they did a lot of connections and emails and I had a bunch of conversations, both like calls and, you know, email exchanges and stuff. And in the end, we didn't close any of the deals and we did a 3-month engagement with them. And I think that that is partially just me not having a sales process and a way to keep track of them and follow up and all this kind of stuff. And I think part of it is kind of now how I feel about outbound and like prospecting is it's just hard. And maybe I don't want to say it doesn't work because everything works, like if you do it well, but we couldn't make it work, I guess is what I would say. So yeah, I mean, that's how it went. And it probably does kind of color my perspective on things.
Are you acting as the head of sales effectively? Do you think that's going to be the role that you own for a while? Or because originally I felt like you were looking for a head of sales. Maybe I'm missing.
No. Okay. Yeah, no. I mean, I think that is a good question. And one that one of our team members raised is like, hey, these salespeople that are coming in, like, who are they going to report to? Like, Sam's title is head of growth. So like they could report to him, but he's been on the job 3 weeks. And so I think that's kind of like unfair. But I mean, I think they should report to me for a while. And then I think that the most ideal thing would be, you know, we hire a head of sales to kind of manage that person. And this would be like, if sales started working and we wanted to hire more sales reps, we bring in a sales director and more reps for them to manage. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the other part of it is, like with this focus, we've hired this other support person. We're bringing in someone to kind of help manage the dev team a little bit. And so the idea with all of that is all I focus on is sales and like helping and supporting the sales reps. So like as close as we can get to that, then yeah, the sales reps can report directly to me. And there's only two of them. So like they don't need another manager.
What I'm thinking about is... So Sam's job effectively, and it seems like he's the right fit for this exactly, is generating leads. And then that's going to fill the pipeline for sales. This is where like raising money and everything else, for me, when we're thinking about it, I can figure out the vision of where we want to get to, figure out how much it costs, what people have to hire. But it's my concerns are just always around the order that those hires happen in. And how sequential it should be. Should it just all be at once? And that's where like the bootstrapper in me is more, well, why not you really nail down the sales process while Sam ramps up leads rather than bringing in the salespeople right away when there aren't enough leads and it's not clear if they should be trying to get more leads, if that's Sam's thing or what else they could be doing. I don't know. That's just what I would be thinking about.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. And we think about this a lot. One thing is like there are ways to increase leads quickly, right? Think about like paid acquisition. And so that's something we haven't done at all and probably will explore. But I mean, the other thing is like, yeah, like financially, like we can afford to hire salespeople. And like my experience has always been like, if there is a person that all they do is think about one thing, that they're much more successful than I can be when I have, you know, 13 other people to worry about and things to do and things for me to manage myself. So even just the leads we have, if they can close more of those, then they pay for themselves.
Okay. And what kind of person are you looking for as far as their background goes? Are you looking for someone who has come in as the first sales hire before? Are you looking for just someone who has done a similar role, even if it was more defined before? What kind of things are you looking for?
Yeah. So someone who has done this before is really helpful to bring that process and, you know, how to use HubSpot. I mean, HubSpot is a really powerful tool, but like there are like courses on how to use it, like yeah. A lot of them. And I'm getting that like if you fit into HubSpot well, like it makes your life really easy. And so someone that doesn't have experience with that, I think would have a challenging time. But just stuff like that, like people that understand how to do kind of enterprise level, kind of more advanced SaaS sales is like the first filter, you know, whether they've used HubSpot or not. They certainly could learn it. But then like that even begs the question of like, could an SDR who's quite senior, who would normally be ready to move up to an AE role, like kind of just move into the AE role with us? So kind of get a promotion by moving to another company. I think that's really attractive because those people are also super hungry. And you know, like coming into a company that doesn't have a big sales process and team and stuff like that, like you need somebody that's entrepreneurial enough and like kind of willing to deal with some of the imperfections that we have. And so I think that's the other part of it.
How do you think about accountability for a role that isn't completely defined and you're not hiring someone who is super senior? So you want someone entrepreneurial, you want someone who is excited about figuring things out and making things work, but you can't necessarily go in with the expectations that they will figure this all out on their own. It's like if we're discussing different paths forward for us and part of it would be bringing on someone for PPC. And in my mind, you'd be looking for someone senior and if they can't figure it out, obviously give them the resources and work with them, make sure they're working with product and everyone else to make them successful. But if where I'm hiring someone senior who's done this before, if they can't figure it out, then it's pretty easy to part ways. I mean, I feel like sales can be similar, but I think it gets tougher when it's a more ambiguous position. How are you thinking about that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I guess I don't have a strong answer. I think from like a practical perspective, one of the things that's pretty common in sales is to like guarantee commission for a period of time. And so we will do that, you know, for like 90 or 180 days. And there are some like clawback provisions, depending on how you do it, blah, blah, blah. But I think that like that gives the signal to somebody like, hey, here's the comp structure. You can make a bunch of money if you're successful. We know that this is all new and there's a lot of variables with this. So we're going to make it safer for you. So like that, just from a practical perspective. But then like, I mean, we do have enough inbound volume on both like the Castos production services and on the private podcasting side of things to know and be able to predict a bit like, okay, you know, we're getting in 10 leads a week. We should close, you know, two or three of them.
Right. Yeah.
Blah, blah,
you have
blah.
Enough, you have enough to get some objective. It's not like they're figuring everything out and yeah. They're hunting, gathering, all of that. It's like, no, you have enough coming in. It's not. You want more, but there's enough coming in where you can at least get a sense of, okay, can you do the job or not? Then there's things on top of that, but that you can at least get a sense of that.
And yeah, we have this baseline that we can kind of forecast, right? Like, okay, this is the baseline of leads and we know the conversion rate. Sam's job now is to go get more of those, and all of our jobs is to go get more of those. And you know, we should expect the conversion rates to, you know, go up and down based on that. And so like, yeah, I mean, I feel like we have done a fair bit of the math there to be able to build out like a comp plan, you know, and a sales plan that has like a pretty high degree of certainty for where we are, I guess. And that's a huge caveat, but a qualifier.
Where did you get the, like, were the people you talked to for the comp plan specifically? Share as much of as you're willing, but I'm almost more curious about how you came up with it.
Yeah. So in SaaS, it's pretty standard. It's like 10% is a pretty standard commission rate. And there's an article that we'll link to in the show notes. And then the revenue target should be a multiple of on-target earnings. And so say on-target earnings are $100,000, your plan should be, you know, $500,000 to $800,000. And then that's just kind of how it works. And then the split between commission and base salary is around 50%.
Okay. And when you say 10%, are these typically annual contracts and they get 10% of that? How does that work?
Yeah. On the private podcasting, a lot of them are annual. On kind of smaller deals, they are monthly. And so I think we would just pay commission for a period of time on those.
Okay.
Or on renewals.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the services side, a pretty standard thing is like 100% of the first month.
Or
so if someone comes in on Kestos Productions, they're going to pay us, you know, $500 in the first month. And then that person gets that. And then the customer stays, you know, for whatever, another, you know, month or year or whatever. And that's kind of not paid and just good for the company after that.
What do you do to ensure that they're getting the right kind of customer in there? The one basically people aren't going to churn out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a hard one. And that's like, you can do silly things with like clawbacks and pay over time more so than pay up front and all of that. And like, we may have to do that. I know that like some people on our team have had really bad experiences with that. And I have too in my previous life, to where like you could start losing money on your paycheck. And that's just like, oh my gosh, I can't deal with this. So like my inclination on that is just to like hire the right person that understands the value of a good customer versus making a sale, to where we don't have to put crazy rules in. But if we have to, like, I think they're kind of accepted in the sales world that like clawbacks and conditional commissions and stuff like that. I don't know if that's the term, but like commissions only after 90 days or something are kind of a thing. And I'd like to avoid it if we can, because it's just super messy and complicated, but it also is not very genuine for like between us and the salesperson.
Mm-hmm. How quickly are you hoping to move on these?
I mean, we're ready, right? So like we're doing second round interviews next week, and we'll have one more round with Matt and Sam from our team. And after that, like I feel good that we have several people already that I would hire based on like what I know of them in our initial conversations. And so it's just a matter of, you know, screening people out from there. But yeah, I mean, we're ready, because we're definitely getting leads. We're getting more leads all the time. And so it's just time. What you're saying, I think, is right, is that it is early for us to be doing this, but I just don't want to wait. So
no, and I think that makes sense. And especially when you have the component where it's not as though they're going in, there's no leads, there's nothing for them to do. That would be the first concern. But no, you've got leads coming in, you have an established business, obviously, and you have someone whose job it is to increase that. So I think, and you have the capital, so it makes sense. And I'm definitely excited to dig into this more as you get further along the process.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Lots of unknowns. And, you know, I think it's something that I'm struggling with. Like I think as entrepreneurs, we enjoy figuring stuff out, and it won't ever be over. I remember, man, you on your other podcast interviewed the founder of Help Scout, and like what he said just stuck with me, is like, the problems don't go away. They actually just get more important as you know, get bigger, the company gets bigger and you get more experience. And I was like, oh, that's kind of dejecting. But yeah, I mean, from where we were last year, it definitely rings true.
Yeah. And that was, with Nick Francis, the co-founder and CEO of Help Scout. It was a really interesting interview for me as well. Just seeing, because I think when you're at these earlier stages, there's a lot of craziness going on. And you're always just thinking, okay, when we get to this next point, we make these next few hires, things will settle down. And honestly, I think to some degree, some parts of that are true, because in those very early days when you are doing absolutely everything, it sucks and it's just a massive grind and you just need to slog through it. But when you grow, you have people who can handle those things, but it's not as though there aren't problems anymore. It's not as though there aren't challenges. The challenges and the problems definitely don't go away. But I do think your life can get a bit more sane, at least when you get the right people on board. So it's exciting to be moving in that direction. But yeah, like you said, there's constant learning, constant things we're going to be figuring out, and excited to keep digging into it on the show with you.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Folks listening, if you have questions or comments for Andy or I, shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you, everybody.